Perfect. Okay. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. And I'll include the link to join the group. And you need a w3.org web account first. That is free, and it's also free to join community groups. And the text of the W3C community contributor license agreement is available at this link. Call notes, these minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived in the CCG GitHub meetings repo. That's available here. Okay, time for introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? I see an old friend here, Coyote, can I call on you to? Oh, there you have, yes, perfect.
Hey, oh, sorry about that. Hey, Kim, how are you?
Hey.
Good to be here. Yes, my name is Coyote, as you can call me Ayo if you please. I basically have been involved with the digital identity space since about 2017 or so. Where I was working on verifiable credentials type work with the SOLID project at MIT, where I was seeing if we could actually implement a verifiable credentials sort of framework using SOLID technology. And that's kind of how I made my foray into the credentials community group through my advisor who told me about this group and kind of just had been plugged in since then. You know, to some extent, I feel like I wish I had been a little bit more sort of vocal, a little bit more involved, but I've definitely learned a lot from the people in that community. And I've kind of kept a pulse on what this particular subgroup of that community has been doing as well on the sidelines. And it's just that, you know, my time, sometimes I just can't really attend because of other work that I'm doing, but I just appreciate having the opportunity to be here. And these days I just work on outside of my main work where I do sort of software engineer with the fintech company. I sort of just help to consult and advise other folks with different initiatives that they're also working on, both in the identity space as well as others. And so that's just a brief synopsis on me, and just happy to be able to sit in on this call.
Very glad to have you here. And I included a link to your work on SOLID verifiable credentials. Everyone should check that out. I think I really like this approach. It sort of nicely dodges the whole decentralized identifier craziness with using SOLID profiles. Is that the right term?
Right.
Yeah.
I guess pods as well. Pods. Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that this is a really cool example of how to get started using verifiable credentials. And I know that I think at least Open University was also looking into SOLID open badges type approaches. So and then a related item is that there's going to be some upcoming CCG meetings on SOLID and unifying with all this stuff. So I know I'll call you do you pronounce it AO for short? Or
it's actually IO.
IO, sorry, IO. So IO has been sort of a leader at unifying all that stuff. So I encourage everyone to check out this work and then also the continued CCG discussion. So very glad to have you here.
Thank you. And one last thing I want to say is just, a brief shout out to Dimitri Zagadun on the call as well, who was a major sort of guide for me while I was working on that work.
Great. And Carrie, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I actually have a quick question for Ayo, and then also I have a thing for this morning. Ayo, next week there's the SOLID meetings. There's two of them, I think, on the W3C community call. Will you be involved in that too? I think there's
Okay.
2 hours of that on the 10th.
Okay, this is through the Solid Community Group.
Yeah, I think I believe an hour before this one on Wednesday is it's the Solid and with the Credential Community Group. The one
Oh,
that we're a
okay, I
task
see.
force of. So I think it's like an hour presenting our work, like the verifiable credentials work, and then an hour of presenting the Solid work and seeing how it works together. That'd be my guess. Probably other people have seen the email. So I was just wondering if you were going to be there too.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'll try my best. I understand there's a workshop, Duffel Biometrics workshop. I don't know if folks know about this on this call that I may be a part of during that week, but I'll see if I can also attend that as well. If I'd be happy to link with you offline just to get more details on that.
Yeah, me too. Actually, if you could, you want to DM me your email address, I'll send you the information. And I'm super interested
Sounds
in
good.
This. Thank you. And just real quick, I'm really close to working on my dissertation study right now. And this week I'm running my pilot, and the study is a survey. It's an online survey. And so my dissertation is on adoption of self-sovereign identity. And I would love if folks on this call would like to participate in the pilot, because your input would be really great and helpful. So if you are interested in participating, it's about a 20-minute survey, probably less for you than it will be for those who are uninitiated in this space. If you could send me your email address, and I will include you in the pilot, probably send it out either later today or early tomorrow. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Carrie. Anyone else new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? Okay, maybe let's get to announcements and reminders then. So first one, submit use cases. Second one, I'll just boost what Carrie said. So give her your email if you want to be included in her dissertation survey. Next, we have the IMS Global Conference this week, which this is probably conflicting with. Sorry about that if so. That's the link to it. And then also IIW, that's not happening for a little while, but there's, I think, early bird pricing and things like that. And that's a good place to sort of talk about more of the decentralized identifier, verifiable credential side of things. And we can do educational focus workshops there. It can be a good opportunity to sort of deep dive and get a lot of stuff done. So who knows, maybe we could plow through some milestones there if you guys want to. Okay, I think that's it for announcements and reminders, unless anyone has anything else. Okay. Let's do a check-in on milestone one. So Carrie, thank you for submitting a PR, which generalized one of the concepts. And now I can't remember which one. I included the link to the PR. I'll also share my screen. And I'll call on you in a second to speak to it. Okay. So it's a competency. Carrie, can I call on you to speak to this?
Yes, although I haven't looked at it since last week, sorry. Let me just get to that. Oh yeah, you have it right there. Thank you on the screen. So what we were doing is changing competency to just outcome. So it does not always assume that an outcome of verifiable credential would be a competency, because it might also be that there is an achievement that's been demonstrated. I mean, this could include things like teamwork and empathy and perfect attendance or completing a marathon. So basically, we were just sort of extending this a little bit beyond, education, like direct correlation to education and workforce or occupation credentials, and just making it a little bit broader.
Great. And I approve this. I think we're just awaiting one review. Hold on 1 second. Let me find the controls get hidden once I'm sharing my screen. Okay, Anthony.
Hi, good morning. Actually, good evening, what am I saying? So I'm in the position where, let's say, I agree with the first half of the PR completely, but I'm a little worried about the second half of the PR. So we have concept one, which is an activity, and that describes an activity a person has undertaken, but essentially the person has not earned anything or proven anything. So the examples of perfect attendance and completing a marathon start then conflicting with the concept of an activity from my perspective, or it possibly could mean that you had a slightly different understanding of these last two examples. So let's say I just want to make sure that we have the concepts finally defined, because concept one really is, this is something you have done. It is a verb. Concept two is the outcome as a result of having done something. So let's say teamwork and empathy are absolutely clear. They would belong here. Perfect attendance, that for me would more be an activity. Completing a marathon, it really depends if you mean we're talking about the ability to complete a marathon or the action of completing a marathon. That's it from me, but would appreciate some debate.
Oscar, you're up.
I agree with Anthony. I guess the separation between in the CLR work group, we had similar conversations around the achievement and the assertion. So in this case, achievement is the marathon itself, and completing a marathon is a success on that marathon. So a person can join a marathon and fail, and it's on its own still a success. So I agree with the separation between those two, the activity itself and the results of the activity. So completing a marathon would kind of mix those two.
Carrie, you're up.
I hear what you're saying, because there is this blurry line, but if we were to add other outcomes, such as completing half of a marathon, say, I don't know, because the activity is running the marathon. So what is the outcome or the achievement of running a marathon? Is the activity training for a marathon, and the outcome is completing or running a marathon? Are we getting a little bit too like into the weeds here as to what activities and outcomes could be? I don't know. I'm thinking this through. I don't have a good answer to this, and I understand the points that they're making, though.
Let's see. Nate, you're up.
So I think we should pay attention to sort of like what will need to exist in the world in order to have a fairly simple ecosystem where broadly claims can about completing marathons and consumption of those claims can exist. And it seems to me like the simplest sort of path to doing that would be to use sort of the existing defined achievement model that is aligned to a particular underlying thing as a synonym for a parallel use case, which is the user just directly has achieved that thing without having the defined achievement connector in the middle. So the defined achievement is like a bundle of metadata and assessment that is offered by a particular issuer that recognizes an achievement that's aligned to a thing. But then the second one of just sort of like has achieved this thing directly, I think is another use case. But we need to be able to not get confused by having credentials that are aligned to completed a marathon that just cover, you know, attendance at a webinar about the history of marathons. Because for the running community, the completion of the, you know, 26.2, they put the stickers on the back of their cars already. It's an important achievement, and mixing it up would be confusing. But at the same time, we got to be, you know, as simple as possible. So it seems to me like alignment of a defined achievement to a underlying thing should, in general parlance, mean completion of the underlying thing to whatever degree the community thinks completion of that thing as possible. And then you sort of judge the reputability of the party that is issuing it in terms of how much you trust that achievement. And then that we could have a parallel claim in verifiable credentials that is sort of direct, where peers maybe could just be, without defining a whole achievement with its assessment and all that whole bundle of metadata, a badge image and whatnot, can just say directly, Nate ran a marathon, completed it. That would be a lie, but you know, we would want you to be able to make that claim if you want.
Let's see, we have a few people in the queue. I guess I'm also wondering what's the sort of the best change we can make, because I heard two things. So one, Nate, I like your clarification, but I also heard, you know, I see things like completing a marathon, and I guess to me that seemed very clear. I get the concern, but I think the way it was written here seemed clear that it was completion of. So I'm wondering what changes we need to make. And meanwhile, let me call on Jim next.
I agree with Nate. The linked thing is can be an item, a competency definition. It wouldn't just be marathon. It would be completion of a marathon or participated in a marathon. You could define all of the different, but it has to be something that is the way that a person demonstrated an ability, where the, if it's other things would be under activity.
Great. And Ayo?
Oh, yes. Sorry. And forgive me too. This is kind of something that I'm reviewing for the first time. And if it's a repetition of anything that anyone has said, I apologize as well. But what I want to say is just that, I guess it would seem to make sense that if ultimately, like the way to think about it would be kind of like using whatever the achievement is as a heuristic for like the ability to accomplish something else, right? So if the goal is for us to be able to identify, okay, will this individual be likely to compete at in a marathon, then like I guess it would make sense to use that the fact that they actually have completed a marathon as the credential. And then otherwise, if it's, are we just concerned about will this individual be able to teach a seminar or to lead a seminar or to lead a discussion or to actually be able to share the knowledge that they have about the history of marathons, as was referenced a little earlier, then I guess then it would make sense for that credential to be more about basically to be able to capture the fact that they have taken a course in that history. And this is just like just a general comment that I had without having the deeper context of this document, but
thanks. And let's see. So I see some things in the chat. So just to come back to what changes do we think are needed? So this is all good discussion. I'm wondering, do we have any volunteers to basically get concept two into a state that we're okay with? So the examples, some examples that I heard summarizing, I like Anthony's note about having some sort of call out, clarifying the difference. That's one option. These are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Actually, these would be good feedback to write in the PR as well. So can I ask people to, I think you should be able to, like, let me give a link to the PR. So you should be able to add review comments. So one that I heard was, a call out. Next I heard was possibly clarifying, additional clarification to basically summarize what Nate was getting at. Third I heard was just clarifying examples even more. Do we have any volunteers, anyone who feels like they have a really good grasp on that would like to volunteer to make these suggestions? Anthony, you're up.
I was just going to suggest that looking at the chat, that I would be very happy to open a fast Google Doc and invite Kerry and Nate and Phil if he likes as well. Try and close this up, let's say, in 2 or 3 days, and then move it into a PR. And let's say we could just do it very collaboratively in a micro group and close this up quickly.
I think that sounds good. I think we will need to have a few brains on it. So Nate said volunteer. So thank you. Carrie's cool with it, and Phil. This is great. So let me just make a note in the in this, all right, let's see. So I would recommend only this set of people do that, because otherwise we might have too many chefs, and this seems like a really good group to get coverage. So they will come up with their proposal, and then we will review it. And I think that would probably be a good way to iterate on this more quickly. So we originally had a goal of closing today, but these are all self-imposed deadlines. And so, you know, no one's really going to, we're not going to be in trouble necessarily. So let me just write a note that we'll extend the deadline another week. So then we'll check on it next Monday. However, so assuming that we get an updated PR, you know, say sometime this week, it would be good if everyone can review the PR before next Monday, so we can move pretty quickly. And so, yeah. Okay. Let me just update some notes real fast. Okay, next we have issuer, milestone 2 issuer check-in, unless there are no more discussions about that. Yeah, I think we're good there. Okay, so milestone 2, I did not get anything into a PR, but I did write some comments that I thought we could review now. Okay, we talked a lot last week about a lot of very complicated modeling problems. and I think we convinced ourselves that a lot of it was interesting to clarify, but not necessarily something we wanted to bring in scope for the core data model. There were things that we did want to bring in scope, and we also do want to add text about that clarification, but I distilled some recommended changes. Hopefully, let me know if you're not able to see the issuer concept recommended changes thing that I'm displaying right now. But I think we do, the current definition, actually let's pull that up side by side. Okay, issuer. This is the current definition, describes the person or entity that is issuing the credential. In the educational, occupational space, the issuer could be institution, organization, or employer. The issuer may also be a person. For example, a person such as the colleague may issue a recommendation about another person in the form of verifiable credentials. Okay, so what are some changes I wanted to add. I think that from our discussion last week, it seemed important to clarify in that definition that the issuer doesn't necessarily need to have a relationship to the learning experience that led to the credential. So those examples might carry some additional implications that we don't want. There were a few examples given on the call last week. I'm not really calling right now, but so clarify that in the definition. Then in terms of the issuer elaboration, something along these lines is what I'm thinking. So they're just captured as bullet points now. So one is that we really do use the term issuer in the same sense as the VC data model. You know, at a high level, it's just this entity that made a claim about a subject. So we don't imply any additional semantics. So just to clarify that, I included from the VC data model this part that the value of the issuer property must either be a URI or an object containing an ID property. So one thing we might consider is adding that it must be a dereferenceable URI. I don't know if we want to fight that battle, but it might be interesting. So then with regard to in the object form, so the only in the object form, that is, if you're, instead of writing an inline issuer URI, you're saying issuer and then object. So from VC data model, the only required property is ID. We could also require type, which is similar to open badges, and I'll get into that below, and recommend but not require name. So I think these are all up for grabs, but these are just sort of my reaction based on summarizing our past discussion. Okay, so for interoperability, use schema.org types person or organization. So let me clarify what I mean by that. Okay, so I'm calling open badges issuer profiles as a really good example for how like linked data context developers can define their types. So it actually does use schema.org properties. And I included a list here of all of the open badge issuer profile properties that are listed. R denotes the required, so that's these first ones here. S denotes they actually are defined on schema.org types, person, and organization. So these, for example, are not required, but they're still defined on schema.org. And then lastly, we have these here that are not required, not defined in these schema.org types. So that's all good. So these are, well, actually these two are open badges in the open badges namespace. This one comes from the security namespace. We'll get to that later. So things that we could do, we can recommend, you know, for linked data context developers to follow this sort of pattern. In the absence of target alignment vocabularies, we could say that we recommend to use schema.org person organization, person or organization as appropriate. And you know, properties that come from schema.org basically as open badges have done here. And we could give other examples beyond open badges as well. So I think the main questions are, you know, so this is pretty weak. I don't think we need to be more forceful than this necessarily. I think the only things that we would have done on top of verifiable credentials data model is, so again, these are all proposals. The URI should be dereferenceable. Also require type, similar to what Open Badges does. And then recommend but not require name, and the use case for that would just be any sort of thing that would display the credential just usability and consistency across different things that are displaying. We're also recommending aligning on schema.org types person or organization in two cases. One, that context should align to it, but then also if you're not already using, if there's no vocabulary you need to use, these are available and should fit a lot of examples. So that's a high level. We have a queue, and Dimitri, you're up.
So I wanted to mention a common question that comes up when talking about issuers of credentials, and that is what happens when there is an ad hoc joint or combined issuance. Let's say you have a diploma from two universities, right? Many of them do like sharing programs. And I think there's several more people on the queue that will comment on this, but I just wanted to bring up that the verifiable credential spec requires that there is a single issuer object, which means question comes up, all right, what happens when there's two entities actually doing it jointly? And so the common response in the VC space, and I think there's even an issue open about this on the VC spec itself, and that is to define as the issuer the collaboration itself, the joint entity. And in the case where the joint entity has its own identity, for example, where DCC, the Digital Credentials Consortium, will have its own DID, will be its own issuer entity, and it represents the collaboration. So that bit is easy. You just do DCC is the issuer. But what happens when there's an ad hoc, you know, just two universities, they don't have branding in common. And there the proposal is, and I think others will talk about it on the queue, is to put the list in a well-defined way. So we add a joint issuer type, we define how to list the participants, and we define the canonicalization of those participants, even if it's like alphabetical sorting or in order of seniority, however that's determined, and so on. So thanks, that's all.
Sorry, I was muted. Okay, so just to make sure I get that. So in the case of the ad hoc, it would be a joint issuer type, and then...
That would list the members, yes.
Okay, so it wouldn't be changing the issuer to accept a list. It wouldn't be changing at the VC
layer. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Because there'd still be one object, and it would still have just one ID. And we can define that ID to be derived from the joint list, right? So as far as VC spec, it's a valid single issuer. It's just that issuer is an object that would contain a list of members.
Okay, got it. Let's see. I think Nate is next.
My comment was anticipated. I think that we should keep issuing simple and use this concept of joint issuer. If we want to ease the process of jointly issuing credentials, then that means making it easier to spin up these ad hoc issuer entities somewhere applicable. And it seems like we can support either an HTTP identifier that's dereferenceable or potentially some forms of DID methods, and that would work. This seems like it might be out of scope for education specifically, but this is something that we should definitely be paying attention to, even if it maybe isn't our sort of the responsibility of our group to come up with something from Greenfield. Identifying good practices out there in the VC space, if there's anyone who's attempted to actually define an issuer profile that that has the properties that says this joint entity is made up of these three constituents, we can probably look at someone's approach already if it exists.
Yeah, that sounds good. And of course, I like taking anything that we have to wait for out of scope. So I do like the idea of adding a discussion about this, because it's inevitably going to come up, but we can talk to the possible solutions that have been proposed, and basically tell people where to look for more information, basically hold this space. Anthony, you're up.
So I'm actually going to say something very similar to you, Kim. One of the reasons we agreed on an ABC idem rule for this group was for exactly this day. We actually took a vote last time to keep this one out of scope for the moment. That said, I mean, even in my own implementations, this is something that really, really, really itches me. I don't think that VC in Ed group is necessarily the place to take it up. Maybe we should have a chat with the people in the main VC group, because I get the impression as well that this is, as in, it's not something the VC in Ed group should solve, but it is something which the educational use case is a bit unique in. In the sense that in most other scenarios, if you have joint issuers, they have a legal agreement between them of some kind, and everything's much more formalized, so you don't have these problems. Education has some special structures. So I mean, I would be very happy to, let's say, take this discussion outside of the VC Ed group to see if we could figure it out. But for now, I think we need to hold it out of scope, or at least save this for, let's say, round two of concepts once we've dealt with the basics.
Yep. Phil, P1, you're up next.
Sorry, I was just on mute. Agree with Anthony's concern. I guess my major concern is that there is a lot of movement going on in the US higher ed space driven by the CLR community. I know that I noticed in the chat that Marty Reed had commented on the circumstance that he's working with that has a parent-child relationship expressed in this domain. And I am concerned that because there is a strong push by the US registrar community to try to adopt the CLR, that we at least ought to try to address a best practice first guess at how do we model in that circumstance, leaving the rest of the discussion per Anthony's comment for perhaps wider conversation and later resolution. But I am worried that the CLR will set a practice in place by de facto prominence, and that we'll have to deal with that. Thanks.
Thank you. And Carrie, you're up.
I think I'm going to just tag on to what everyone else is saying here too, which is, I think it can be out of scope right now, and I do think we should have future discussions to support those discussions. I do think we should start putting in some use cases now, as Phil was saying, so that we have something to lean on in those future discussions. And I also would like to note that I am sort of keen on Dimitri's idea of just having this like joint issuer type in the future, because all of those legal agreements that may happen prior to issuing, when those, you know, and we have a single DID and it just looks like a single DID, those relationships change pretty quickly. And historically, we may not be able to see that. So if the record of a joint issuing is in there at the time of the issuance, then we have that record in history. So just a note for future discussions, really, but out of scope for now.
Great. Let's see. Yeah, I had something to basically respond to P1. I think that in terms of, so I do, oh boy. That's not the issue. So Dimitri, that's the link. Can you give the updated links? Oh, wait. No, I just clicked the wrong thing. Sorry. Okay, that was my bad. Let's see. Okay, so Anthony did open it. Let me go down. Okay, so Dimitri, actually, can I call on you real Fast to talk through this.
Sure thing. So, the reason I bring it up is I actually forgot it was Anthony who opened it. So I just wanted to make the group aware that we did start this discussion a year ago. And so the proposal that I mentioned that I've sort of seen as a best practice recommendation at the time was to still have issuer as a single object with a single ID, but to have the ID point to the partnership or the collaboration itself and to list the participants of the issuership. And that was one of the examples there. And what I don't have in that example, but can add, is a specific joint issuer type.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do think that might be interesting to have that specific type for this. So I think, Phil, I want to, before moving on to milestone three real fast, I'm curious what, if you could, well, maybe at least in the comment or something, if you have any notes now on it, but what can we do to address the concerns that you mentioned, which, are interesting. I do want to make sure that we're not totally leaving this open. Let me make sure I preserve my comments. Okay, so I think I added some, our discussion here. I do think it might be interesting to add some discussion, possibly give an example of how, even if it's non-normative, even though like very little of what we're doing can actually be construed as normative. But yeah, looking for pointers on how to address that. And I see a lot of discussion that I probably can't read right now. If anyone has anything that they want to read out, please speak up. Otherwise, I'll move on to milestone three.
I think example that was just given there might be a reasonable non-normative approach for the time being, so that there is at least a proposed pattern set with expectation that, it's still not settled.
Marty, can I ask you to comment on this real fast? Is this from a CLR example, or is this like a
proposal? That's right. That's from the CLR example for, a given achievement from the Open Credential Publisher example. So we had to add, and this is added to the spec, the multiple identifiers of the school. So your issuer is the school, but then you have to represent the parent org because it's signed by the official. So the official from the district signs the school level assertion or achievement, sorry. So that's one way to do it, where you have a parent and child relationship within the issuer scope.
Okay. Anthony, you're up.
I'd like to, let's say, see if we can propose a way forward on this, because I mean, we did agree to park this issue last week, and now it's eaten up nearly our entire meeting again this week. So I think it's clear there's some appetite to discuss this. But on the other hand, we don't even have the basic elements of issuer or a lot of our vocabularies done. What I'd like to propose is that since the group seems to think this is important to discuss, I would like to at least try and get the simple stuff done first. And at the moment in our work plan, we have a 10-week work plan with, let's say, concepts to discuss. And then in week 10, we have a discussion of what do we work on next. I would say that maybe let's not consider it out of scope of the group a priori, but we park it to our week 10 discussion, and then we can decide to say, okay, we're going to put a real focus on this. or we're going to try and work with the, let's say, higher VC spec people on this or so on. And I would also be very, very careful of separating multiple issuers from the whole issuer versus publisher discussion, because they're very, very closely integrated. So if we choose to deal with these, they need to deal with together. But if we do decide to deal with this, I can see the next 2 months taken up by it before we've even gotten the basics straight.
Yeah. So and unfortunately, I don't think there was any feedback on the basics. I think we quickly got into the multiple issuer weirdness kind of stuff. So, oh, actually, Nate, you're up.
Hey, thanks. So back to the basics. This is great. Good start. I would like to clear one thing that I'd like is issuers should be able to be identified by a DID. As opposed to following the open badges example, which to date requires a dereferenceable HTTP or HTTPS identifier. And it seems that if we can accomplish some of these things via a DID, that would be great. And that would be like a sort of simple scope thing. And then I totally agree with Anthony that these discussions around multiple issuer entities and entities that have relationships to parent entities is something that I think probably is a whole milestone that we could add on to sort of the end of our calendar.
I like that. Okay, so I do want to see though, are there, so since DIDs are URIs, were there any additional changes to what I proposed?
Well, just in terms of the how the properties are expressed, I'm not sure if all DID methods have universal capability to express an email address property, for instance. I very much think that that is not the case. But some DID methods, like DIDWeb, for example, would be able to do it because they're very much freeform. It essentially is just a way of going to a URL with a JSON document that the issuer controls.
Right, that is correct. And I think that we're definitely not adding those as required proper. This was just an example within open badges. So maybe once I create my PR, hopefully be clear. I'm just making sure I'm not missing anything. Carrie?
I have a question for understanding. I suspect others may need this understanding too. So what are we saying that we could have, it could be a DID or a hosted URI with the data?
Yes. Yeah, I see no reason to restrict to DIDs, especially because people are still debating which ones are even useful. So
true.
Yeah.
In the future, I'd like to restrict to DIDs. I would suggest that. I know it's probably not feasible now, but I feel as though it makes the credential less verifiable if we're not using a verifiable, identifier.
You're
but
right.
I get why we have to sort of have this bridge for now.
Yeah, I would be very happy if people would use AO's approach, in fact, as a first start. So anyone who wants to play with that, that would be great. Okay, so I think I will take an action to work on a PR, hopefully clarify this stuff, and then we are parking the other discussion, but maybe just a quick note on how it might be done without getting too much in details. Anthony, you're up.
The only thing I was thinking about is the actual definition of an issuer, because I think the definition of an issuer that comes from the VC is part of the reason we've entered all these publisher versus issuer weeds. Because if we say that the issuer isn't necessarily linked to the organization who's providing the learning experience, the issuer isn't necessarily actually making a claim about the subject. The issuer might merely be signing a claim about the subject, but isn't necessarily making the claim. It's just some I'm not sure if, let's say, repeating the language identically would necessarily help our clarification. I'm not sure if I was clear on that one.
I guess I'm not sure. Were there any, I guess, what is the takeaway proposal on that?
I would say an issuer signs the claim. Dot.
Yeah. So you mean like as the, in which place though? I guess I'm not, is it a change to what we have here or is it?
No, I was just trying to clarify a little bit. So for me, the issuer is because you said this orally, but then it isn't written. You were saying that we should use the definition of issuer from VC as the issuer is the entity that makes a claim about the subject. Right. And considering all the discussions we've had, I might just say that the issuer is the entity that generates the proof and leave it at that.
Yeah, let me just capture that and then let's see. Okay. So let me see, and we have just a few minutes left. There was some discussion on milestone 3, which is about the credential subject. I want to try to pull that up real fast. We had a discussion. I don't know if, Oscar, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here too.
Could I call on you to discuss this?
Sure, basically, I just wanted to, because I volunteered to create a discussion on that subject, I basically outlined what the decisions and some discussions in the CLR work group. So I've given an example of what a learner, CLR learner, and CLR uses this profile, just like the issuer, to identify a learner. So I gave an example of a learner in CLR, and I added some items that was discussed there to bring up some discussions, and we can brainstorm on these ideas, concepts, and whether we would like to address these in these conversations.
Great. Phil, I am curious, can you summarize your concern here? P1.
I'm looking at my concern.
I can actually summarize that. Unfortunately, I provided a link over there, and that link is not public. So I have provided the link to the discussions in GitHub there, and that link is not public. So I don't know whether I should remove it or, and Phil was asking why he couldn't access that.
Yeah, I was. I thought as a member of IMS that it would be available to IMS members, but apparently it's even restricted within the IMS community.
Weird. Yeah, I think public links only are good. And let's see. So, but yeah, it seems like we have a good start here. It does seem like these properties, for the most part, are, you know, coming from schema.org. We'll have to get into some of these. This seems like a good meaty topic for next week, given that we're at 1 minute. Can I also have a volunteer to, so thank you, Oscar, for doing this. I think it would be good to continue getting some more sort of suggestions on this, and we can have, you know, maybe something other than CLR as well. And then we can talk about it next week. Okay, thanks for clarifying that, Nate. I think that, you know, we have a lot going on here. We'll have something to review with issuer next week. It would be great if we could bring up you know, get work this one into more of a PR kind of form. And then next week, hopefully we will be ready to start a new milestone and also close out that first one. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you all. Take care.